deepest ideas in Hasidic theology, one of the most important meditations to always have by davening. And it's from a mimer from the Alter Rebbe, from the Balat Tanya, on this week's parsha. The mimer itself is 7 pages with like small little letters. So I didn't think we'd be able to get through that if we do the text inside, and even if we skip around. So I felt that the most, I think, beneficial and efficient way to do it is for me to just say orally the ideas the Alter Rebbe is saying, because the important thing here in this mimer, especially the reason that it's a good contemplation to have by davening, is that it's very step by step to get the different ideas step by step what he's saying, and to get at least to get the main idea. Not, of course, it's important the words that he uses, but the idea behind the words to be able to think about, because it's also not just for prayer, but it's a very important idea to bear in mind about our relationship with God. I will first say the words in Aramaic or whatever, and then we'll discuss it at length. Basically, this mimer, this Hasidic discourse, this idea, is discussing the concept from the Zohar that God generally manifests in two ways. What's called Soviv Kol Alman and Memale Kol Alman, which means that God manifests in a way that he transcends all worlds and that he fills all worlds. And this meditation, these two ways of meditating about God, these two understandings of relationship with God, are so fundamental to understand how to relate to God and how to feel God within us and within the world around us. So that's what this mimer is about. So we're going to go through it. As I said, I'm just going to summarize it very basically, but to get the basic ideas from it. So the mimer is based on the words in this week's parsha, Parshas Emor, V'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. And I will be sanctified within b'nei Yisrael. V'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. Now, does anyone know, before we get to the Hasidic interpretation, which one of the 613 commandments we actually learn from these words? V'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified within b'nei Yisrael. Anyone know? The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the mitzvah of sanctifying God's name. According to some Rishonim, it also includes saying Kiddusha with a minyan, but definitely the mitzvah to sanctify one God's name, which of course the ultimate sanctification is one who gives one's life for God's name. V'nigdashti b'toich and b'toich b'nei Yisrael, within b'nei Yisrael, means among, you pour me water? Among 10 people among b'nei Yisrael. Right? That's what the simple meaning of b'toich means. Within b'nei Yisrael means when there are 10 other people from b'nei Yisrael to willing to sanctify God's name. That's the simple meaning of the words. But the Alter Rebbe comes to say that obviously what is b'toich, anyone that's familiar with the language of Chazal especially, what does b'toich literally mean? Inside. So v'nikdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael means that the ultimate way that God becomes sanctified, God is saying, v'nikdashti, I become sanctified, is b'toich b'nei Yisrael, inside a Jew. God's ultimate kedusha somehow is b'toich b'nei Yisrael. And of course you understand this isn't mutually exclusive, this isn't contradicting the fact that there's a mitzvah that sanctify God's name in public, because that's the external manifestation of this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But we're learning from here that there's a deeper way of an igdashti within an individual level of having Hashem's Kiddusha, whatever that means. So number one is to understand what that means. Question number two, the Alter Rebbe asks. He asks actually 5 questions. We're going to learn 4 questions. Question number two, the Alter Rebbe asks that to understand what's the igdashti within B'nai Yisrael. So we know that there's, when we speak about the inyan of Kedusha, one person we know that accepts upon themselves more Kedusha. Who's a person that becomes more holy, accepts upon themselves, makes a vow to become more holy?
A Nazir.
A Nazir is a person that accepts upon himself to be more holy. And the Pasuk says, Kadosh Yia Gadol Pera. He will be holy and therefore he will let his hair grow. Which means, the Alter Rebbe says, that the secret of Kedusha has to do with letting hair grow. With hair. Which is fascinating. It's also very much relates to this time of the year. Because you know that even though according to Halacha, one is allowed to get a haircut after Lag BaOmer. But according to the Kabbalah, according to the Hasidic and Kabbalah and Kabbalistic tradition, we do not get a haircut until Erev Shavuos, the whole Sfira. because the growing of there is really in the deeper level nothing to do with mourning. It has to do with extra holiness we're trying to take during Sfira to prepare for Shavuos. So growing hair is connected to holiness as we see by Nazir. And that means to understand holiness is somehow connected to the idea of hair. Question number 3, says the Alter Rebbe, there's a pasuk from Yeshaya. In Isaiah, when he saw the seraphim, those angels, the seraphim, the pasuk says that Yeshaya saw seraphim oimdim mimal lo. The seraphim were standing above him. Who's him that Isaiah was seeing?
Hashem.
God, Hashem. And the seraphim were standing above him. Seraphim oimdim mimal lo. The seraphim was standing above him. Now obviously, how could one stand above God? And you know, this is going to connect out to, but doesn't say it here, but it connects very much that you all know, actually somebody just asked me recently, why do we stand on our tippy toes 3 times when we say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish? You ever wonder? We go on our tippy toes, right? So one of the sources of that, who says, we learned about this last week, who says Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish? The seraphim. That's this verse in Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6. And we stand on our feet because the seraphim stand above God. So somehow we go on our tippy toes because we're also somehow trying to stand above God. Whatever that means. But you have to understand, what could that mean? And question number 4, the Alter Rebbe says, all this will be understood by learning a pasuk in Tehillim. A verse from Psalms, the pasuk in Tehillim says, and it's a pasuk anyone that puts on a talis every day, says this pasuk every day, Ki imcha, no? Makor chaim. Ki imcha, Makor Chaim. Zonked out?
No, it's fine.
Just leave it. Leave it.
Just gone.
Okay. Ki put down. Ki imcha Makor Chaim. Ki imcha Makor Chaim. What does ki imcha Makor Chaim mean? Ki imcha Makor Chaim. Who could translate? Ki imcha Makor Chaim.
Because like within you is the source of
life.
With you, ki imcha, with you, God, is the source of life. Ki imcha, Makor Chaim. With you is the source of life. Asked out there, but a very simple question. The source of life is with God? I thought God is the source of life. Why shouldn't it say, Ki ata Makor Chaim? Ki imcha Makor Chaim seems to say that the source of life is with God, but it's not God. Right? That's what the words...
What's the difference?
Ki in Hebrew or in English?
Like,
what's the difference in English between saying with you is the source of life or you are the source of life?
Means you have something separate to yourself.
Which is the source of life.
Which is the source of life,
right.
Rather than like you are the actual source.
Exactly. Like you would say to your boss, you are my source of a salary or with you is the source of my salary. What would you say?
Interesting.
Would you say to your boss, with you is the you are my source of salary?
Definitely not you are, because they are not God.
No. When you say, I'm talking about it as an analogy, your salary, Lemaisa, your boss that actually pays the check. Would you say to your boss, you are the source of my salary, or with you is the source of my salary?
With you.
With you, not you are the source of my salary?
Yeah, with you.
Why?
Because my boss is at home. You know, yeah. How is that coming from her anyway? My boss doesn't own the salary.
Alright, so let's take a different analogy. The point that I'm trying to get, let's not get harp on the analogy. Let's say your wife made you dinner. Would you say, you made me dinner, or with you is where my dinner came from?
With her, she made it. She had to make it with her own skill set. She's just inherited.
Now he's
just inherited. Her that dinner will come out.
What about God? Is he the source of life?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So wouldn't it be fair to say to God, you are the source of life?
I'm not doubting that.
I'm asking you. Doesn't the verse seem strange? It says
yes,
with you?
I think the with part is unique here. It not compared to the metaphors that you gave.
Okay. If you didn't like the metaphors, that's fine. I just made them up this moment. I don't have a lot riding on them. But the truth is, you should know, Evan, by the way, all the things that you said are going to be the answer about God also. So we're going to get there, but I want you to understand that the words, not just the metaphors, in God, the word, the wording, the semantics are strange. Ki imcha mekor chaim. We say to God, with you, God is the source of life. We don't say to God, you are the source of life, which seems to make more sense. So the Alter Rebbe says like this. So let's start. Let's answer all these questions. First, the Alter Rebbe introduces something very important. There's a pasuk in Malachi, a verse in Malachi, which is a fundamental of faith. And that is that it says in Malachi that God says, Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. I, God, never change. Theologically, do we all understand that it does not make sense to say that God changes? God is immutable. God cannot change. Does everyone? Could anyone explain? What do you think? Why would it be a fundamental thing in our faith to say God cannot change?
Well, if you change, there was something wrong with what you were in the first place.
Number one, right? Obviously, perfection can't change.
Means he exists in time.
It would mean by definition he would be within time, because change necessitates time. That's correct.
He would be lacking something in order to move.
That's like what David said. It would mean he's not perfect, right? What else? What's and all these things are true. What's another thing to say where we would know that God can't change? More imperfect in logic or mathematics or philosophy, depending how you want to say it, you could say any of those things. Infinity cannot change.
No,
by definition. Right. Not only not plus one, it can't change. Something that's infinite by definition cannot change. Change is only when there's something that's within finitude and within parts or within something that's subject to change. An infinity can't change, because that would mean it wouldn't be infinite. Whatever infinity is. So our belief in God being Ein Sof means that he does not change. And therefore, now here, as I'm talking, you're going to have to do, you're going to have to work with me, is that what I'm teaching tonight is important not to just to try to get cognitively. You're going to have to picture these things in your mind as we're speaking here. Therefore, we understand that God creating all the world, and not just this world, but all the worlds, when God created them, Ani Hashem Leishanisi, God doesn't change by the worlds, by creating the worlds, and all the changes that take place in the world don't take place within God. By definition, right? That's what we're saying. We all agree on that. So now, let's say, so the Alter Rebbe says that means, so the God creating the world and God running the world is not, therefore, by definition, like the way the soul vitalizes and runs the body. Let's think for a second about the soul and the body. Think about how the soul is in the body. Think about all the different parts of your body. You have the physical parts, you have your hands and your feet, you have your internal organs, you have your eyes, your ears. Your soul, your vitality in your body is causing all these things to happen. And therefore, when your soul in your eyes now, try to feel your soul in your ears now, or if you move your feet, move your feet a little, and you feel the soul in your feet now, that's all your soul. Does the soul in your body change? Yeah, obviously it does. The soul that vitalizes the body, the nefesh, that part of the soul called nefesh, that's enclosed in the body, changes. Because you see that it's making your eyes see, and your mouth talk, and your hands move, and everything else. So the soul is different in the body, and what causes the difference of the soul the way it is in the body? What causes that your soul here sees and here talks and here hears? What causes that? The physical organs. In other words, listen carefully to the words, the soul enclothes itself within the vessels. The light of the soul enclothes itself within the vessels of the body, becomes united with the vessels of the body, and enclosed within the vessels of the body, and thereby becomes differentiated by the vessels of the body. The light of the soul in the eyes is not the same as the light of the soul in the feet or the light of the soul in the mouth. It becomes differentiated. And therefore the soul in the body does change. And therefore the Alter Rebbe says, number one, this is the first chapter you have to see in your mind that Ein Sof, that God, creating the worlds and vitalizing the worlds is not like the soul in the body, because the soul is completely enclosed within the body, within the vessel of the body. therefore changes according to the organs of the body, and is imminent within, and it becomes fleshig. Your soul and yonis is fleshig. It becomes physical according to everything, the vessels of your body, and the soul changes. And says the Alter Rebbe, that is, this metaphor, if you get this in your head, is what it means when we say that God is kadosh, which we already spoke about last week. Kadosh, that God is kadosh, is that it's not like the soul and the body. That's number one. You look very confused.
I don't get why that means the soul changes.
Well, let's say it very easily. If you, a minute ago, were sad, and something happened that made you happy, that means your soul changed.
You won the lottery.
What?
You won the lottery.
You won the lottery. Somebody hit you, somebody hits your hand, and you're in pain. That's a change. That's changing.
Your soul doesn't change.
That's what I don't... Yeah, Shani's question is, like, your soul might manifest differently, but that doesn't
we're
mean
talking,
its
so,
essence oh, changes.
So that's why I was careful to say the nefesh. Oh. I was careful to say the nefesh, which means that level of the soul that's enclosed in the body. There are very transcendent levels of soul. We're not talking about that. I said the nefesh. Not the ruach, neshama, chai, yuchida, the nefesh. The Alter Rebbe, here the point of tonight's class is not the soul. That's just being used as an analogy. So what the Alter Rebbe wants you to picture in your mind is that that part of the soul that is nefesh kol basar. You ever heard of the term nefesh kol basar? What, the soul of the flesh, the soul, the vitality in the flesh, the part that doctors could examine. There are machines that could examine that part of the soul, the part of the soul that's enclosed in the body. There are machines that can measure it, and I don't just mean the what do you call it?
EKG.
I mean that the scientists could measure brain in the brain things that happen and moods and stuff, because it's nefesh kol basar. God is kadosh means he's not like that. Because we said he's perfect, he's infinite. He completely transcends. That's what it means that Hashem is kadosh. That's step one. Clear? Now ask the Alter Rebbe a question. But this question itself, you have to know the nechsidus, the questions itself. You could also meditate. You have to meditate on the questions also. The question is, says the Alter Rebbe, 1 second, but is there change in the world or not? Yeah, the world is all change. That's what gives the existentialists able to make a living, right? The world is all change, right? Are there differences in the world between things? Yeah, obviously. Ask the Alter Rebbe a question. How could that come about if everything is God's light? And this question is based on the premise that Einod Milvado, that we believe that only God exists, the Baal Shem Tov taught based on Kabbalists before also, that Hashem is the Einod Milvado, only God exists. If there is change in the world, and there are differences between things, where would that come from if they are the light, if everything is just the light of God?
It's the way the light's manifesting in front of our eyes. It's the way we're seeing things, but the reality is at the end of the day, just as this table is God, so is that drama, that situation that's changed.
But anything that we see is there. It's not that it's not there. The world isn't an illusion.
True.
So therefore, anything that there are differences, whatever's manifesting, however it's manifesting, the fact that it's all God's light is true. But that it is manifesting as a table and a chair means that that's how God's light is manifest.
Who said the world isn't an illusion? It's not the Alter Rebbe.
The Alter Rebbe, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Bereishis barli kim esrayim v'sa'aretz. God created heaven and earth. The world is not an illusion. I remember I went on when The Matrix came out, it was very big at the time, and I went on a whole tour, a lot of different places, lecturing on the differences between Matrix and Chassidus. The world is not an illusion. One cannot say the world is an illusion. It's the first verse, Bereishis, but God created heaven and earth. And if the world is an illusion, then what's all Torah Mitzvahs about? And Tzitzis doesn't exist, and Chazer doesn't exist. You could do whatever you want. There's no real world. So the world is not an illusion. The table is here. It's not an illusion. Again, according to Torah, we believe heaven and earth is here. That's the whole purpose of creation.
Is it the creation in Tzimtzum? That
Oh, so wait, so that's going to be good. We're going to get to the answer, right? So wait, so let's understand. So if, again, the question is based on the premise that only God exists, and yet there are differences. When you're looking at the world and you see all these differences, that's coming from God. So then, one second, if we just said that he doesn't change, and he doesn't have differentiations, and yet everything is his light, how does that happen? That's the Alter Rebbe asks, that's a question in understanding. But then the Alter Rebbe has an even better question. There's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud. The Gemara in Brachas says, Ma ha-nefesh memalas ha-guf, kacha kodesh baruch hu memalas ha-olam. As the soul fills the body, so does God fill the earth. So if the Gemara says that the way God's light in the world is like the soul filling the body. So if you meditate on the nefesh kol basar, that fleshig of vitality, and how it's in every organ, every part of your body differently, that is how you're supposed to meditate in the world, that the world, that every different aspect and detail you're seeing in the world is another way that his light is manifesting. So we just said two opposite theological premises about God. First we said he's infinite, perfect, cannot change. He's kadosh. And now we're saying that he fills the world in every detail and reality like a soul fills the body.
But like a nefesh, so maybe it's a part of that.
Oh, so the answer is like Eti is saying. Thank you. The door was hard enough. This is already. this is already beyond me. Oh. So the answer is the Alter Rebbe says exactly how we began tonight. That the difference is if you speak about God and his infinite essence, of Ein Sof is called Sovav Kol Almin. He transcends all worlds. He remains infinite. And then there's Memali Kol Almin, which is that light that gets contracted through Tzimtzum to become the soul of the world, the soul of all worlds. Chai Hoi Lomim. You ever make a Bari Nefashas? Bari Nefashas Rabbis? And what are the last words? Baruch Chei Ha'ilomim. Chei Ha'ilomim means the vitality of the world, that God's light becomes the light of the world. He contracts his light to become the vitality of the world. And that's called Mimali Kol Almin. Mimali Kol Almin, the light of God that fills the world, that permeates the world. And the Alter Rebbe goes so far as to say that this light of God that fills the world, that is like the soul and the body, this light is known in the Zohar as Almid de Izgalia, which means the revealed light of God. This light of Mamali Kol Almin is called the revealed light. By the way, this Mamali Kol Almin has another name, which you're all familiar with. Another name that Chazal used to refer to this light. As opposed to God being Kadosh, there's another light. This light of God that fills the world like the soul fills the body has another name in Chazal. What's that? Shekhinah. Shekhinah. Shekhinah is that light of God that fills the world. That's what Shekhinah is.
Is the physical manifestation of God?
So Shekhinah
is the presence of God in the world.
So here's presence is without Chassidus. Presence is a cop-out translation. Why? Presence is like what Art Scroll will say. Because Shekhinah just means like there's this ethereal type of presence. Shekhinah, according to Kabbalah and Chassidus, is not just presence. It is reality. It is the table and everything that you see.
It's the vitality behind it.
It's not just the vitality. It's not just the vitality.
The physical manifestation?
Yes, even the physicality.
But you can't see it.
Wait, one second. There's a million things going. Wait. First of all, I want to tell you that what Eti and Jen is saying is important to bear in mind. That in this detail, by the way, the Alter Rebbe says, even though the Gemara is saying that that God's light fills the world like the soul fills the body, the Alter Rebbe in Tanya says that there's one way that the soul and the body is not a good analogy for the Shekhinah and the world. And what's that? You were just clarifying. Because the body and the soul is only vitalizing the body. And God's light is not just vitalizing the table, it manifests as the table. And so now the Zohar is saying that this light of God is called Amaz Gai, the revealed light. And Davey's saying, I don't see it. And so the Baal Shem Tov writes in Savas Arivash, and this is one of those lines that the Misnagdim quoted when they excommunicated the Hasidic movement, which makes it that much juicier. The Baal Shem Tov says, Davy, that bear in mind that wherever you're looking, you're seeing the Shekhinah. You are seeing the Shekhinah. Right now.
Well, my question on that is, don't we, like, also, isn't there also somewhere that says, like, that the Shekhinah is gone from the Jewish people? Like,
beautiful
the
question. Beautiful question. Golus
HaShekhinah.
Golus HaShekhinah. Okay. So, the Shekhinah being gone, Golus HaShekhinah, is the fact that even after I just told you that everything is the Shekhinah, when you look across the you, what did you just see? A wall.
Yeah.
But you don't see that. That's what it means the Shekhinah is gone.
Because
we're not aware of what the Shekhinah, we don't see it as for what
so
it is.
Is the Shekhinah being gone the same as Hester Punim?
Yes.
So it's just our inability to see it.
Right.
It's still, that hasn't changed. We've changed.
Right.
That's correct. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the perception. It's our ability to perceive it.
Well, it doesn't begin with our subjectivity.
Right.
That subjectively we can't perceive it is a result of the fact that objectively the Shekhinah takes on more vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Takes on more vessels. To say it very simply, I'll give you a good example. What's the difference between, you could have two teachers teaching the same exact idea. One is a good teacher, one is a bad teacher. One explains it and everyone in the class gets it, and one explains it and no one in the class can have any idea what the teacher's talking about. And they're explaining the same thing. Why is that? They're both explaining it. The difference is the words that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the difference the words that you choose? You ever have a teacher that could talk for 20 minutes and you have no idea what they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Why? They thought they were explaining it, but you had no idea what they were saying. Why?
The transmission.
What's no? Where does that? Where does the problem start? In the students or in the teacher?
The teacher.
In the teacher. Why? What's wrong with the teacher?
Can't express
lack
himself.
Can't express himself. What does it mean? Can't express himself. Think.
Not on the same.
They're
wavelength.
Not speaking our language.
They're not speaking your language. Meaning that the words that the teacher is saying, do the words contain the idea or not?
Not
yes.
to us.
Not to us. Meaning they contain the idea, but not well. Meaning that the vessels are too thick. And you don't see the light in the vessels of the words.
It's like a math teacher trying to teach calculus to, you know, second grade.
But a good... Okay, let's say...
But
let's say...
A good teacher that's able to break that down.
What's that?
A good teacher would find a way to break that down.
Meaning that in simple English... When you hear someone talking, you don't want to be hearing the words that they're saying. You want to be getting the idea.
Yeah.
When you hear somebody talking, you usually don't pay attention to the words. You don't like think, oh, there was a G, there was an A, oh, an H. That doesn't happen, right? Only in Archie Comics. Well, today Archie Comics is way passé. But you don't usually see the words that are being said, right? You just hear the idea, right? So now, what's the world? What's the Shekhinah? God speaking. But now God is being a bad teacher. So you're right, Shani, what you're saying, that it's our subjective perception, but that fact that our perception can't perceive it is because Golus HaShekhinah means that now God's speech went to Golus.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that now he's saying, let there be a table, let there be a chair, but we're not getting that he's revealing himself.
And the difference between the tzaddikim and us is that they're on such a high level that they can actually understand.
Exactly. They see it as the godly revelation. That's correct. A tzaddik doesn't see something different than we do in the world. He sees the same world that we do. He just sees that it's the light of God. And Mashiach comes, what we spoke about last week. Remember we learned about the Rambam? Where he says he was adamant that Mashiach comes, there won't be miracles? Remember? He was adamant there won't be miracles when Mashiach comes. Remember, what did we learn? Why? Because what's the ultimate revelation of Mashiach? That we're going to be like the tzaddikim.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to see that everything is the Shekhinah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the idea of that the Zohar is saying that the Shekhinah is Alma d'Izgalia, the revealed light of God. That's this light of the Shekhinah, what the world actually is. That's the light of God that permeates reality in that way. That's the Shekhinah. Clear?
Mm-hmm.
That's chapter 2. Now comes chapter 3. And now, again, I'm going to need you to meditate. Now I want you to realize, think carefully now, okay? So you're thinking about how you have hopefully a perception in your mind, how the light of God is filling this world and is the soul of this world, and even more than a soul, because the soul and the body are two separate things. You're seeing how the world, or at least you have in your mind some kind of idea, how the world and all the details that you're seeing around you are the contracted light of God, the Shekhinah, the Mamalei Kolam, the light of God that's filling the world. And all the details that you see are the light of God becoming that this world that you see. That's that light called Mamali Kol Alman. And then we spoke about God, Ein Sof Soviv Kol Alman. God is infinite, transcends all the Milky Way and all galaxies, is an infinite, unchangeable light. Now, what's the relation of that light of God in this world, Mamali Kol Alman, to Soviv Kol Alman? So wait, he's Ein Sof, and then he does Tzimtzum and brings about a light that becomes Mamali Kol Alman. What's a relationship of him to that light? What's a mushal to understand that light? So the Alter brings two mushals. Mushal one from the Arizal. Imagine taking one drop out of the ocean. Imagine you take a drop out of the ocean. How much of the ocean are you holding in your hand now?
A drop.
Right? Now, if I were to say to you, so is that what would be the ratio? What would be the fraction? 1/1? Huge word. Huge number, right? Right. But where do you have more water? In the ocean or on your finger?
In the ocean.
Well, is the water on your finger any less water than the water in the ocean?
No.
In other words, water as water, there's no more of the essence of what water is in the ocean. It's just you now have only a little drop of it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that qualitatively the ocean got less or the water is less than the ocean. The water is, it's still the water. It's not a part. It's not like a pizza pie that you cut into slices. It's the same idea of the water of the ocean, just it's a drop now. And Mamali Kol Alman to God is like that one drop from the ocean. He brought about one drop of his light, and that's that light that brought about all the galaxies and all the light years of stars and universes and every single detail of reality, past, present, and future, anything that ever happened. That's that drop, that's called Mamali Kol Alman. And what you need to meditate, this is what davening is that you meditate. Psukei D'Zimra is meditating how his light manifests as reality. And then when you say Shema Yisrael, the main meditation is that all this reality is just a drop. It's all just a drop. God is the ocean himself. And that's supposed to bring about a huge feeling of love, that you want the ocean. But before we go further into that, so that's one mushal the Alter Rebbe brings, one drop from the ocean. The Alter Rebbe brings another mushal. By the way, I should just point out also, there's another, in biblical terms, Shechina is a term from Chazal. In biblical terms, these two levels of God in his Ein Sof, and then God's light as he fills the world, are also known as Yudke Vavke and Elohim. You ever wonder why Elohim is always plural? The name Elohim, by definition, is a plural word. Right? Elohim is plural. Why is water always plural? Because there's no such thing as one water. Exactly what I just said. Because it's the same, when you have the drop on your finger, it's not less water than the ocean. It's just one drop of it. It's not less qualitatively what water is, it's just a drop of it. Elohim is God's light being tables and chairs and lions and tigers and bears on mine. That's what Elohim is. It's not less godly. It's just God now manifesting as Rabin, as Elohim. And now, says the Alter Rebbe, another mushal, and this is a little abstract, if until now it hasn't been, but now we're going to get a little deeper now for a second. Another mushal is, if I were to say to you, in a strand of hair, does your soul vitalize a strand of hair? Is the vitality of your soul in a strand of hair?
Yes.
You ever see finesse commercials? Obviously it is, right? Your soul is vitalizing your hair. Besides the fact that it grows, if you pull on someone's hair long enough, they'll get a headache. Right? That means the vitality is coming from the brain.
And if we're talking about the level of the soul that you were saying before, like one single hair follicle has your DNA, so that's also your...
That's true also, correct. Right?
There's some level of soul then.
There's a level of soul. They could do DNA testing.
Your hair...
To befarish a criminal mind.
Yeah.
They could test your DNA from a strand of hair. What?
One strand of hair is... that cannot be replicated in the entire world.
No, because it's only your DNA.
Yeah.
Right, 100%.
It's like completely unique.
Right. So your soul...
Which is kind of crazy.
Your soul gives... It is, yeah, very crazy. So your soul vitalizes one strand of hair. But now tell me, what's the difference between the way the soul vitalizes the rest of your body and the way the soul vitalizes your hair? Why, if you cut your hair, it won't hurt, but if you cut your finger, it would? Because there's a huge tzimtzum to go through the skull to vitalize the hair is a huge symptom. So Al-Jabba says, now you meditate that the light of God that fills the world, Elokim, Memale Kol Alman, Shechina, vis-a-vis Ein Sof, is like one strand of hair. And therefore hair, the way that hair is a little teeny drop of the soul is a manifestation of God's Kedusha. The reason that a Nazir has to grow his hair, the connection between Kedusha and Cyrus and hair, is because a hair is a manifestation of that symptom of how all the world is only like a teeny drop of hair. Of the chayis that comes from Hashem, the vitality that comes from Hashem, is like that teeny drop of hair. And therefore the hair is that manifestation of Hashem's Kedusha. That's why the connection between Kedusha and hair. So that's another way to meditate on that, that Hashem's hair is that little, that hair is the little teeny drop of that becomes this world. So now, let's think for a second. So the Srafim are saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The Srafim are understanding that all of reality, not just this physical world, and not just the Milky Way, but all the galaxies, all the worlds are like a little drop from the ocean, it's like a drop of hair. If you meditate on that long enough, what do you want? What will come out of that? What emotion will come out of that meditation?
Insignificance.
What? That's right, insignificance. You feel I'm just a little drop, I'm a drop of hair. What else?
Desire.
What kind of desire?
You want more.
You want more. Right? You want more. I always say a best mashal for this, imagine your beloved is like trapped in a jail cell for like 30 years. But they allow your beloved to stick out, you know, a pinky. And you get to hold your beloved's pinky. Try to think, what would that feel like? You just get to touch the pinky. Says the Alter Rebbe, do you know why they're called Srafim? Which means being burned up, because they become burned up with desire for God's infinity. They don't want to be in the Shechina anymore. They feel that all of reality is just the Shechina, is just Mamale Kol Alman. They see that. They see what the world is. It's just this little teeny drop of God's light. And they're screaming, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Apart, a transcendent, transcendent, transcendent. They want to come to God's infinity. They don't suffice with this world. You know, there's a... I don't remember where I saw once, but I saw once a cartoon or something where you have like, you know, this kid riding along with his little bicycle or something, and then like he sees someone like on a motorbike. You know that thing, like a person lives in a little apartment and they're all happy their apartment, then all of a sudden like you go tour someone's mansion and you like come back to like one bedroom and you're like, you feel all right? The Srafim, like, see, like, all of reality is like a shack. And they're not happy with reality anymore. They're not happy with the reality of this world as it is. They see that it's just a drop. They're not content with it anymore. They feel it's only a drop from the ocean. They want the ocean. And they come such tshuka, such a desire, such a passionate desire for God, that Srafim oindim mimaloi. They stand above the Shechina. They come to a place where they rise above the Shechina. They no longer, that mimal lo means that they stand above the Shechina. They don't want to be in that Shechina anymore. They want to go above, and because the Pasuk actually uses the Aleph Dal Nun Yud, which is the Shekhinah, they go above. They don't want it. It's not that they're sending God forbid, above God's infinity. The opposite. They want, they go above the Shekhinah. They want to go above the Shekhinah to Hashem's essence. Kedusha means that when within us, that there's that desire to not stay in this, but rather come to God's Kedusha. In other words, what we understand is that it's not ki ata makor chayim, rather ki imcha makor chayim. Because what's makor chayim? Chayim is the life that we feel. What you feel in your kishkas is chayim. Is God Himself, when you speak to God in the second person, is God in His essence who we're talking to when we daven, is He the source of the vitality in my kishkas? The Shekhinah is. Only a ray from Him. Only a drop from Him. And that's why what you were saying before, Evan, is true. Why would it be unfair to say, look at your wife in her eyes and say, oh, my darling, you are the source of my dinner. Why would she slap you? If you say, oh, I love you, you are the source of my dinner. That's what I am, she'll say. I'm the source of your dinner. That's how you're defining me.
Yeah.
That's not, she might have made your dinner tonight, if you got lucky, but you would hardly say, oh, my darling, source of my dinners. Right, put that on your wife's next birthday card. Dear Susan, source of my dinners. Right. So that would be insulting because that's not who she is. Saying to, and same thing with your boss, which what you said is true. Oh, hi, boss, source of my parnasa. He'll say to you, I like tennis too. That's not all I am, right? So you can't say to God, ki ato mekor chayim, ki imcha mekor chayim. It's just with you. It's an aspect of you. The Shekhinah is a little drop of what He is. What? Because Chaim is like mime, exactly. That's right. Chaim is also one of those words it could be quantitatively less, qualitatively the same, right? So that's what we're saying. Ki imcha makor chaim, and says the Alter Rebbe, and that's the deeper meaning of v'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. V'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael means when a person comes to this place where they meditate on how all the worlds are only a drop of what He is. And you come to a feeling of desire of God. You desire that you don't just want the drop of the world anymore. The whole point of davening, according to Chassidus, the most important meditation that davening is supposed to bring about, is that one is no longer content to just want the world. You want God. You actually want to become close to God in His infinite essence. How do you come to want that? V'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. That within your heart you arouse a huge love and desire to come to God's Kedusha by meditating on this idea of how all of reality is just a drop of His light. And therefore you want Him. You want to come to His essence. That's the main meditation of davening.
Do you want to understand the drop, or you want to
So
you want to be the? I hear what you're saying.
I'm taking issue with the word understand. We're not talking about understanding. We're talking about you want to become included and connected.
You want to be the ocean, or are you just connecting to the idea that you're very small, bigger than that? You're connecting to that you want to be.
You want the ocean. You want Havaya. You want Yud Kei Vav Kei. You want God Ein Sof. In other words, it knows like this: the light of God in the world. When you connect to that, you're connecting to only a drop of what God is. And when you meditate that this is just a drop, it's like the vitality in one hair from God. In other words, v'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. You feel the Kedusha within your heart. You feel how all that reality is just a drop of God. And you feel constrained in this tight place called this created reality. And you want to come to Ein Sof. That ahava ke'esh, that's called love like fire, that you come, that you have that desire, this passionate desire to come to Hashem, that's the migdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael.
Yeah, but the reality is that even the first level is a very high level.
You're right. That's why you need
to... We're not on.
Well, we have to work on both.
We could assume that everyone could get to that place of understanding the smallness of their status in the world, but... Conceptually,
understanding the smallness of your place in the world is a very Musar type of way of talking about it. In Chassidus, the point isn't to understand your small place in the world. That Chassidus said, the way Chassidus looks at it is that step one is in Psukei Dezimra. What do we talk about in Psukei Dezimra? Hehar v'chol gvois, eitz pri v'chol arazim, achai v'chol behema. Mountains and hills, fruit trees, birds, right? Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam. He spoke, and he spoke, it's the word, it's the light of Hashem. And you come to Ahava Kamayim, love like water, by meditating how the world is this contracted light of Hashem. And therefore you come to connect to godliness within the world. And train yourself to see, as you're looking at the world, like the Baal Shem Tov said, that you're looking at the light of Hashem, that's now manifesting as this beautiful creation that I see. Mm-hmm. That's step one, that's Pesukei Dezimra, that's to come love like water. Then you come by Kriya Shema, when you say Hashem Echad, then you meditate how Hashem is infinitely above all of that. You have to meditate how that light of God that's in reality is only like a drop from Him, it's only like one hair. And therefore you want to come to closer to Hashem's infinity, which is what you're coming to when in Shemoneh Esrei you say Baruch Atah. That's love like fire, that you actually want to come and connect to Hashem and His infinity. That's love like fire. And that's v'nigdashti, that in the Pnimius Halev, that the Alter Rebbe says that in the heart of a Jew is burning a desirous love to see the glory of God in His infinite essence. They actually want to come to Hashem in His infinite light. That's the Ava Hashem that's supposed to happen. That's the Mikdashti B'toich B'nei Yisrael. That's the meditation that one is supposed to have by Kriya Shema. Questions?
Burning. I hear say that last part again. That was good. The burning desire.
The desire that it becomes aroused in a Jew's heart to see God, to gaze at the King's glory in His infinite essence, and to come to God in His infinite light. That's what you're supposed to... The point of davening is to try to meditate that the light of God that's in the world is only a drop of what He is, or a hair. You meditate, how much vitality do you have in one strand of hair? That's how much God's light is in all of physical created reality. And therefore you want more than that. You don't want to be stuck in the strand of hair. You don't want to be stuck in the you want God Himself. You want His infinite light. There's a poem from Rav Kook, which very much connects to this. It's actually
revealed.
You don't just want the Shechina revealed. You want Yudke Vavke, you want Kutcha Brichu. You want God's Kedusha, you want His Ein Sof. You don't just want the revelation of the Shechina.
It's very hard to visualize, I feel like, we could say, to be very honest with you, that's the right thing to say. I want God's, infinite, just to be connected infinitely to Him. But I don't even know what that actually means or feels like.
So I'm telling you, so that's why Chassidus comes to give you analogies
to
try to relate to it.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you an analogy. Imagine your bride was taken up to a tower, right, by some evil wizard, and she's now stuck there for the next 20 years, and all she could stick out is a pinky. And all you could touch is a pinky. What would that feel like?
That would be terrible.
What would it feel like? Try to feel in yourself the emotion, what that would be like. All you get is a pinky. And then visualize that connecting to God in the world is only His pinky. You use the analogy and then put it at, that's how it is with Hashem.
Right. But the problem with that is that we've only ever seen the pinky.
That's right.
We've never actually been with that light in our lives.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, exactly.
Good
so,
point.
Yeah, explain that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Like the tzaddik of the world, the holy tzid, doesn't mean he's hugging his imprisoned wife.
Say that again?
I said, it doesn't mean that he's getting more than the pinky. Or is he?
You're not asking the same thing that David just asked. You're asking a different question.
It's the same thing, I just was...
What are you asking?
No, I thought I'm asking the same thing. We've only seen the pinky.
We've only seen. You're talking about a tzaddik. He's talking about himself.
I'm trying to say, like, the idea of, like, how do we elevate to more than the pinky? I guess so.
In other words, how would we want more of the pinky if you only saw the pinky?
We've only ever seen the pinky. That's all we know.
So I've read this note down as the pinky.
This is the one we ever seen the pinky.
Right.
Like, that's all you can see is, like, you know, you go and you should have stayed. Like, all you see is the pinky. You never see the actual person in your entire life.
Okay, great question.
Actually, oh, that's a whole different situation.
Beautiful question.
It'd be much harder if you had seen the person. It'd be way harder if you had
seen
the person.
Well, that's what it's saying. That's what
and fall in love with the person and then only got married.
That's
right, but so that's the analogy. But Davey's saying, but it's not like that because we haven't fallen in love with God.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, so the answer is like this. Tell me, Davey, how does God's pinky look like to you? If we're saying that all of created reality is his pinky, how does it look?
It's quite large.
It's quite a... Besides the fact that it's large, How else does it look to you?
Everything you've ever known.
It's everything you've ever
known. Is it good or bad?
Good.
It's quite good.
Good.
Both. Both. Right. Both. Both.
Yeah, but you don't know why anything goes.
It's good and bad. I mean,
it's not just roses.
It's mostly good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was good, but like...
Well, so now follow me. Follow me for a second, okay? If reality and everything you've ever seen is just a pinky, just a drop, just a hair... What must he be like?
Yeah, amazing.
Right.
Be like a different
dimension. Right. Exactly. In other words, let me give you another analogy. You have a 5-year-old kid and you put in front of him an ice cream sundae and a check for $100,000. What's the 5-year-old kid? You say, choose one.
He'll choose a sundae.
He'll choose the ice cream sundae. What are you going to explain to the kid? What would you try to explain to them?
If you take this, you can buy yourself ice cream sundaes every day
for the rest of your life.
And for all your friends.
Because you'll say to them, what do you mean? It's just a piece of paper. I never saw, you know, the collar. It's just a paper. So you try to explain to them that...
Yeah.
Das ist nicht das. So you're 100% right. This is why, I'll tell you the truth, I've been learning Chassidus for 30 years and I still like this world and I still like ice cream sundaes and I still have a hard time coming to relate to God. But the avodah is to try to meditate that the world is just the ice cream sundae and the blat gemara, the pasuk in Chumash, the mitzvah that has in it God's infinity is the $100,000 is the $100 million check.
Wow, okay.
In other words, of course there's no easy answer to that, but you have to know what is it we're trying to meditate on? What is it we're trying to achieve? We're trying to achieve Hasidic meditation is to try to realize that the whole reality is just the pinky, and I don't know what he is in, but it's only his pinky. So imagine what he is. And the Srafim do see that. And that's why the Srafim don't want the sundae. They want the $100 million check.
But that's a very good explanation. But that ultimately comes down to belief. Like, that ultimately just comes down to, do I believe this or not?
You don't know how what you said, how precise it is. You have no idea. There's another whole mimer in the Likutei Torah. Davey. There's a whole mime on the Likutei Torah, and it's brought in all the mamarim a lot of times. Does one have to know God or believe in God? Das or emuna? So the Alter Rebbe says exactly what you just said. The Shechina Mimale Kol Almin, you could know God. This is why, Evan, when you said understand, you could know, you could feel godliness in the world. That's das. And das also doesn't just mean know over here, but das means also, like in the biblical sense, knowledge in the biblical sense, which means to connect to feel when Adam knew his wife Eve, means that he knew her, he felt her, connected to her in a very sensual way. We could know the godliness, we could know the light of God in this world.
That could be like when you're under the chuppah, where you're like learning or like davening Yom Kippur.
It could be when you're having a cup of Diet Pepsi. It could be any moment. You could know the God in anything that you're doing because everything is His light. It's the Shechina. So what's Emunah? Emunah is that He's Soviv Kol Almin. Das is in Mamale Kol Almin. Emunah is the faith that He's infinitely transcends anything that we've seen. All the worlds is only a little drop of what godliness is, Elokim. Emun is in Shem Havaya. That's why, based on what you just said, you ever wonder, there's a pasuk we say every day in Davening, right after the splitting of the Red Sea. Vayar b'nei Yisrael seyar g'del ha'shosim b'mitzrayim. And b'nei Yisrael saw the great hand that God did on the sea. What are the next words? Vayaminu b'ashem. It just says the Jews saw God. And then after it says Vayaminu. If they saw God, why would they need emuna? Vayar b'nei Yisrael seyar g'del ha'shosim b'mitzrayim. Vayaminu b'ashem. And then they had emuna. The answer is because no matter what the Jews saw, Yitzis Mitzrayim, they were just seeing the contracted light of Hashem.
It's almost the...
And emuna is, one second, and emuna is to believe that He's infinitely beyond that. What do you say, Ati?
As we are limited beings, we can connect with the limited representation of Hashem, but the unlimited part, the infinite part, that we don't even...
We wouldn't go by, we would say His infinite essence, yeah.
Is beyond our comprehension.
Right, but it's beyond our comprehension. But what we can do, we can't know what the Zohar actually says. What you're saying is very good. It's beyond our mind. Right. But you know what it's not beyond? You know where we can touch that place? Our heart. Our heart, v'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael, means that that infinite light of God that we can't know with our mind and we can't see with our eyes, our heart could desire to come to.
Like doing mitzvahs.
No.
Don't go there.
No. Doing mitzvahs is the result of this. Listen, Evan.
No,
doing
mitzvahs. Am I connecting to the beyond or am I connecting to the hair?
You're connecting to the beyond.
Okay. That's what I said.
If that's what you're. Yes, you're connecting to the beyond. But doing mitzvahs is going to be the result of this v'nigdashti, this ahava ke'esh. Once you come to this avocation, you want God's infinity. How are you going to quench that desire?
Do a mitzvah
and learn Torah because there is God's Havaya, there is God's essence.
Yeah.
The Torah mitzvah is going to be the result of this type of ahava. Mm-hmm. Tough.